God, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the Scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The reading from the Gospel of Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he went back to Galilee. He left Nazareth and settled in Capernaum, a lakeside town near the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. In this way, the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the way to the sea, on the far side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who live in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began proclaiming the message, "Change your hearts and minds, for the reign of heaven is at hand." As Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he watched two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They fished by trade. Jesus said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of humankind." They immediately abandoned their nets and began to follow Jesus. Jesus walked along further and caught sight of a second pair of brothers, James and John ben Zebedee. They too were in their boat, mending their nets with their father. Jesus called them, and immediately they abandoned both boat and father to follow him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In the gospel reading for today, we've heard what are essentially two texts. The first is a fulfillment of a prophecy by Isaiah, and then a narrative about Jesus calling the first disciples. Now, you may be wondering, as I did when I first started struggling with these texts, why these two texts are read together and what they have to do with one another. Is this just another quirk of the lectionary? After struggling with these texts for a while now, I think that I have found an interesting link between the two. I think they have in common something about moving from darkness to light. In the prophecy text, the connection to darkness and light is obvious. But not so much for the second text. Allow me to explain what I mean. When Jesus settled in Capernaum, Matthew says, the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled, that the people who lived in darkness began to see a great light. It doesn't take any great stretch of the imagination to see that Matthew is talking about Jesus as that light. In all four Gospels, Jesus often uses light as a metaphor for faithfulness. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus is even called the light. Just as the dim light of dawn grows slowly to the full brightness of noon, the life and teaching of Jesus begins to reach the people of Galilee. Change your hearts and minds, for the reign of heaven is at hand. Jesus called on the people to make changes in their life, to live faithfully as God intends. And not to put off change, because we are not separated from the reign of heaven by some great gulf of time. The reign of heaven is near at hand. It is, in fact, only as far away as the time it takes for us to change our hearts and our minds. So in this text, it's not difficult to see that Jesus is calling people to move from darkness into light. Matthew then moves on to the narrative of Jesus calling the first disciples. As Jesus walks along the Sea of Galilee, he observes Peter and Andrew casting a net into the sea. And he says to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of humankind." Perhaps Jesus was inspired by their diligence in their work. Maybe as Jesus watched Peter and Andrew casting a net, he realized that teaching people about the reign of heaven
is much like trying to catch fish. And so he spoke to them in a language that they could understand, using a metaphor that they would immediately grasp. Reaching out to others with the good news of God's boundless love is like fishing. Now, the fish don't just jump out of the water into the boat. You have to go and get them, which takes a lot of hard work. You may not be able to see the ones that you're trying to catch. You may not know where they are. There's a good chance that you will pull up an empty net. Or, on the other hand, the net may be so full that you're unable to lift the catch out of the water. Or it may be so large that the net breaks. Likewise, fishing for people is perilous, as is going out on a boat. We don't have to go back very far in this story to see that fishing for people got John the Baptist arrested. When Jesus called them, they immediately left their nets to follow him. Then this little vignette is repeated again. Jesus calls James and John, who leave not only their nets, but also their father. And they do this to follow Jesus. Now, when someone asks me, "Hey, follow me," the first thing I'll ask is, "Well, where are we going?" But the disciples didn't ask. They simply laid down their nets and they followed Jesus. So the question is, how is this second story connected with the theme of moving from darkness to light? Well, I think there are two ways. The first, by leaving their trade to follow Jesus, the disciples are putting into action Jesus' call to change their hearts and minds. And they begin the effort to live into the reign of heaven. So in this first way, the disciples are an example of people who have been living in darkness, beginning to see a great light. The second way is not quite so literal. In Jesus' fishing metaphor, there are two sides. There's the fisher and the fish. In calling the disciples, Jesus is acting as the fisher, and the disciples are the fish. We can easily identify with the role of the fisher, but it's a little harder to identify with the fish. What is it like to be a fish? The fish live in a world very different from our own. It's a world of dim, filtered, shimmering light, of cold waters and swift currents. And it's a dangerous world, full of sharks and other predators. These predators are looking for an easy meal, and fish are usually the catch. The fish is in the water, and the water is in the fish. And in the water, the fish lives and moves and has its being. And I wonder if the fish is even aware of the water. The laws of nature operate differently underwater than they do on land. And the fish know nothing of the world above the water. To be caught, either by hook or net, means death for the fish. It means being pulled up out of its familiar world into a world of dazzling, blinding light, a world without the close, comforting embrace of the water, a world where it cannot even breathe. Now, I suppose, in a way, I can identify with the fish. Before I started my transition into vocational ministry, I swam in the waters of corporate America. I wasn't completely happy, but it was a world that I was familiar with, a world where I understood my place and the dangers of straying too far from home. When I began to think seriously about leaving my comfortable corporate job, it made about as much sense as a fish deciding to leave the water and go live on dry land. Why would a fish leave the cool, dim waters for the bright, loud, hot, suffocating world above? The other fish that I worked with seemed to be content to swim around, nibbling crumbs discarded by the bigger fish, oblivious to the danger of becoming someone else's meal. Unlike these fish, I was drowning. I knew very little almost nothing of the world above the waterline, except that it offered the promise of something other than perpetual drowning and the constant threat of becoming a snack for some other predatory fish. Now, by the time I was ready to take real steps toward vocational ministry, I had been in the process for about 6 years already, but I had still yet to be certified as a candidate for ordination. I hadn't been accepted to seminary or secured student loans. I hadn't found a job. I had to leave the job that I was in. I had to sell my house. I had to move my family. I still had to do all of these things on the day that I handed in my letter of resignation to my boss. To my coworkers, the other fish that I swam with, my departure was a big surprise. Nobody I worked with knew what I was up to, and my departure must have seemed as abrupt as the disciples laying down their nets to follow Jesus. But I took that step. I handed in my letter of resignation, and like a fish caught in a net, I was headed for the surface. I was leaving a world that for me was dim and suffocating for a world which held the promise of light and life. And God did not disappoint. I was accepted to seminary. I secured student loans. I was certified as a candidate for ordination. I found an appointment. I sold my house and moved my family, all in the space of about 2 months. I half expected that following this call would be for me like being a fish on dry land. But instead, what I found was that I wasn't blinded. I wasn't suffocated. I found that I was transformed. I found that I could breathe, that I could see, that I could hear, feel, smell, touch, and taste in a way that I had never been able to do before. Being caught in the net of God's call did not mean the end of me. It meant the death of a life that I had been living, but at the same time, it was the beginning of a new life, a life following Jesus' call to go from being a fish to being a fisher, a life living into the reign of heaven, a life moving from darkness into light. Now, looking back, I can see that following God's call, attempting to move into life in the reign of heaven, is as mysterious to us as life above the water is for the fish. For me, it meant leaving a corporate job to follow a calling to vocational ministry. What does it mean for you? Where are you drowning? Where do you feel yourself being called? If you find yourself being pulled along as though by net or hook from the cool darkness of your familiar waters into the bright light above the surface, I can't explain what mystery awaits you. But I can tell you from my own experience that following God's call, as scary as it may seem, is worth every risk. Amen.